Hey, peoples, this is the Conspiracy Oz podcast. I'm your host, Mick Raven. It is Wednesday, the 13th of December, 2023. This is a review covering alternative news and events. You can call +61 02 8006 1918 anytime. Drop me an email at conspiracyoz@protonmail.com. Go to the website conspiracyoz.com. Download the podcast from iTunes, Spotify, or podomatic.com. And get the D program. As for last week, I'm going to continue doing the COVID Rats of Oz, the sinking ship. And we've got Anastasia Palaszczuk, the Queensland Premier, doing a runner. So there's just about all of them. So it must be ready for the uploading of the COVID-19, the class of COVID-19, the Rats of Oz, the COVID Rats of Oz. To get them up and show you the faces of the shamed, the ones that grabbed the money and ran and made sure that the COVID hoax was in place for people to continue to get jabbed and to continue dying. Even though they say, and I just wanted to point out, because a lot of the times it's very easy for the media and like the Australian Bureau of Statistics and you know, the statistical type what we refer to with our talks on anything to do with statistics, they can be fudged. I'm telling you, people, because I just did my own sort of comparison with an independent statistical site, which is worlddominator.info. They're not tied to Bill Gates. They're not tied to the Australian government or any corporation. So they just put out the facts of what they see for each country with the COVID statistics, because it's still happening. And that's my focus. So I went to the provisional mortality statistics for the Australian Bureau of Statistics. Shows you how many people in Australia have died over a certain period and then tells you what they died of. And I needed to scrutinise it because I've been quoting from worlddominator.info the amount of COVID deaths. Now, they're not saying it's COVID-19 direct. It could be anything. It could be from the vaccinations. They're not saying that. That's what the whole statistic thing's all about. It just shows you actually how many people were related to COVID-19 that died. In the provisional statistics, they try to fudge it, people. They seriously try to say, well, it could have just been a coincidental death. Same with the TGA, Therapeutic Goods Administration, doing the same thing. And I thought to myself, right, so I'm going to do a simple arithmetic thing. I'm going to go to the total deaths in Australia, which you can go to at conspiracyoz.com if you click on the worlddominator.info tab. And it's set up for Australia. So as soon as you click on it, it'll take you to the Australian statistics for COVID-related articles, or statistics, I should say, not articles. But, yeah, this is going to be an article from this. So this will be the article. And it says, total coronavirus deaths in Australia. Now, this is mapped from the very beginning. Like we're talking the February the 15th, 2020, right up to, and I think it gets pretty close, it gets to December the 11th, which is the day before. So the total deaths related to coronavirus in Australia is 23,671. Okay, that's of December the 11th. And when it first started, the first death would have been recorded. I'm still going to find it, people. You've got to mouse over this little graph. There it is. First death. Almost got it. It keeps flicking off it. There it is. March 1st, 2020, first death, okay? And all the way through. So I thought, well, when did the jabbing actually start? Like, when did they actually start to do it? Now, you can't go by when the jabbing first started. This is for the vaccination, because they needed to get all the people done first before the statistics started to shine. In other words, if you gave like 100 people the jab in the first week of the, or the first day even, of the jabbing, there's no indicator to show on that particular day after that if people died from the vaccination straight away, because it can sometimes not be immediate. It can take weeks and months before it affects people. So it's very hard to sort of distinguish, oh, well, I just had the jab and I died. That does happen. But at the same time, it also takes an effect. It can actually lower people's immune system, which brings in other types of ways of dying. And that's what I wanted to look at. I wanted to look at, okay, there's the total deaths in Australia from coronavirus according to worlddominators.info. And then I thought I'll go to the Australian Bureau of Statistics and get their take on how many people died in Australia So over a certain time. Now, what they've got here, they're only doing it from a certain time. This is really interesting too that they do this. They've got key statistics, and it says between January and August, okay, this is for 2023, there were 122,112 deaths. That's in total. That's not coronavirus. That's in total. Okay, that's fair enough. We go, okay. And they're saying COVID-19 caused 143 deaths in September. So they're only looking at a month. And it says down from 158 in August. So in other words, they're not doing full. They do it in the graph, but that's what I targeted. That's what I looked at. I said, okay, I'll look at the world dominant statistics and I'll get the death, how many people died related to COVID in that year. So rather than the statistic as it climbs up, I isolated each year and I got totals. In 2021, according to worlddominant.info, there was 1,400 related COVID deaths. Whether vaccinated or not, doesn't matter. But see, the vaccination started in February 2021, and then it would have really taken hold in that 6 months. Because that's when everyone was lining up. There was all these mandates coming out and businesses were saying, get jabs, save us all. This is when it started. So the mass jabbing would have been in that first 6 months, definitely. And surprise, surprise, that's when the death rate started to rise. Okay? And it rose really high, really quickly. In fact, if I go back and look at it, if you look at, February 21, and then you look at the first 6 months, up to about around about August, it sort of plateaus at 1,000. It starts around, because even in February 21, I'll see if I can get the exact date, because it's when the jabbing started, there was probably about close to 1,000 deaths. And if you go all the way through to even, where is it there? There it is, to around about August, there's still 1,000 deaths. So the jabbing started then. Then the death rate climbed. So around about August, it started to skyrocket from 1,000 up to 2,000 and all the way to what it is today, which is 23,000, 23,500. So you can see that something went wrong. Yeah, the massive jabbing and boosters and all that. How did that help? How can that possibly help? So the way they fudge the figures is they say, well, the death rate's dropping. In other words, it's not as intense as it was in 2022, which is actually true. But that's when the statistics started to wane. I mean, even the latest statistics saying, the latest COVID-19 statistics that I read like a week or so ago, it only goes up to October the 26th. And we're into December, and it used to be weekly. They're not reporting. That was from the ABC, from the site. It's just not there. I can't find it anywhere online. I mean, it's probably there somewhere, but the searching I'm doing can't find it, even on their own site and on just a normal search. Can't find anything. So I'm thinking, why are they not doing regular reporting, because then they don't have to report the death count. You see, they don't have to report whether the death count's going up. And also, people are not reporting it because it's not mandatory anymore. Doctors don't care. Nobody's reporting it. It's just it's like the flu statistics. You know, take it as you will. But the fact is, it is still killing people. And so is the vaccine, because it didn't work and it's still transmissible. And they're still saying to get jabbed. This is the latest headline that just came out. So I'll read off what it is. It's for the Australian, and I'll get into that story I was just about to say. The COVID deaths, according to worlddominant.info, in 2021 was 1,400. Then in 2022, 15,000. Okay, and now this is where they're trying to fudge the figures, where they say in 2023, only 6,339. So less than half. So it's a big drop, but that's when everyone said COVID is over. Nobody's bothered with it. So this is what I'm saying. Statistics drive everything. Okay, so if statistics start to drop off, so do that. But that's from World Dominant Info. If I go to the provisional mortality statistics for the COVID deaths from the Australian Bureau of Statistics, okay, we're talking like a government site, it says here, and I'll see if I can find it. Okay, so it's got, now remember this is just for, I think this is just for August, for January to August 2023, okay? And it says, and it was released in the 24th of November 2023. So we only just got this data from that 6 months. So I haven't done a full year. So we can't even figure out what the truth is. But it says here, just focusing on the COVID stuff, because that's really what I'm interested in. It says, see if we can get the full one, because they've got to say the full one is somewhere in here, and that's what I'm looking for. It's got the following analysis based on a doctor certified deaths. In other words, coroner referred deaths are not included. So this is it. They are not going to tie it to that. They've got referral could affect counts of doctor certified deaths. Some conditions have higher coroner referral rates, which is the heart disease to a lesser extent, respiratory diseases and diabetes. So, and it says in August 2023, there were 151 deaths due to COVID-19 that were certified by a doctor. So they're saying 151 just in August. So now I'm going to look at Worldometers and see what the statistics for just in August were. Now, according to Worldometer, the way I did my statistics by subtracting from the total of deaths, it came out as 300. So already they're down by 50% on their reporting, but they're using that term certified by a doctor. This is the way they whittle the statistics and sort of make it work for them. And then they say, reading on, it says there have been 3,282 deaths due to COVID certified by a doctor between January and August 2023. So then I looked at worldometer.info's statistics. And again, the figures are fudged. It says, as I just reported, 3,282 deaths were reported of COVID from the provisional mortality statistics for the Australian Bureau of Statistics for January to August 2023. And according to Worldometers, if you do the statistics like I have, it comes out as 5,359. So something's dreadfully wrong. They're, you know, underscoring everything to make it look better. Okay? This is why I'm saying that you cannot trust the statistics. They're doing this to mask it. Okay? They're trying to mask the actual problem. Now, people will continue to die and they won't say it's COVID. They'll just say it's heart disease, respiratory, anything but. And it'll even cause people to catch other things because of the lowering of the immune system, because they've got something in their body that shouldn't be there for something that they tried to do that didn't work because they knew it didn't work. That's been my take on this whole COVID hoax from day one. And all these people that pushed it, all the ones in corporate and in the Australian government and the medical profession, they all knew at the top. It's a mandate they were told to push. That's why they're running. Only the guilty run, people, and they're all running. There are none of them left, okay? There's a smattering of some holding up the fort while the others run. So what I'm going to do and what I have been doing as in the last 2 weeks is exposing where they've gone, to what job they went to and how they were rewarded, because that's what's really happening here. They're getting rewarded simply because they did their job, okay? And they're also leaving because of the death threats, because people understand what happened. It was a COVID hoax. That's it. So the ABC story I was referring to that caught me on my back up all of a sudden was the abc.net.au, and it's another one of the COVID rats that are still there. It's his Dr. Gerard. I think it's John Gerard. He was around since the whole thing too. This is in Queensland. So it's got about 4 million Queenslanders, contracted COVID-19 at least once in 2022, Chief Health Officer says. Now, interesting thing, they're all jabbed. But if they had natural immunity, just like myself, they wouldn't have, you wouldn't have had a death rate going up through the roof like that. You see, people would have had natural immunity, but they didn't want you to have that. They wanted you to have the jab. So here they're saying here, and this has came out on the 4th of April, 2023, so earlier in the year, and it's got about 4 million Queenslanders contracted COVID-19 at least once in 2022. Now, that's important to note, people, because that's when it was at its worst, according to the Prestute Media. So reading in the article, it says about 4 million Queenslanders contracted COVID-19 at least once last year, infecting more people in a single year than any other virus in the state's history, Chief Health Officer John Gerard said. But he's still waiting until most people were vaccinated before reopening the state's borders, meant Queensland death rate from the pandemic virus in 2022 was about one-tenth of that in the US. Dr. Gerard said that COVID-19 was listed as the underlying cause of 1,757 Queenslanders' deaths by January the 31st this year. He says a death rate of 33.9 per 100,000 population. He said that that was against estimates of more than 80% of adult Queenslanders being infected with SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, at least once in 2022, a figure based on antibody testing of the state's blood donors. Says the COVID data is reported in the biennial Health of Queensland's report, the second published during the pandemic and Dr. Gerard's first since taking over from the state's chief health officer from Dr. Jeanette Young in late 2021. She's another one. And she was rewarded big, people, that one. So it says, there's no other infectious disease that has ever infected that many people in 1 year, Dr. Gerard said in an interview with the ABC. COVID-19 has been arguably, probably along with HIV, funny that, the biggest natural disaster in 100 years on the planet. It's inevitable that it would affect Queenslanders in some way. And it says, he says, I think it probably will affect life expectancy in this state, but nothing like the effect in the US. There are very few places in the world that are similar to Queensland. And then he says this, and this is very, very interesting, people. Dr. Gerard said high population levels of vaccine uptake in Queensland before the borders opened restricted deaths from the virus to fewer than 1 in 2,000 people infected. A figure, he said, was similar to most respiratory viruses such as seasonal flu. And it says if you look at the actual infection fatality rate of COVID in Queensland, it was no higher than seasonal flu. So you can see what's happened here, people. It's a failed attempt to kill a lot of people, but they're trying to do it slowly. Now, remember, I told you that COVID-19 was all about getting people to QR code, get their phones ready for the next one. That's what's happening here. That's why everyone's phones now become their wallets. Have you noticed? It is a way of getting everyone ready to be counted digitally with a digital ID. That's what it was for. Okay, to get the world ready to QR code. So people know where you are. We're talking about the elites and the corporations in control. They know where you are and how to hit you with Maxwell's silver hammer if they need to. Okay, now they've got everyone on board. Just about everyone's on board. There's a small minority like myself in the alternative media that will never get on board. But there are a lot of people that sat on the fence that have fallen off the fence and are now on their side of the fence. Okay, slowly getting jabbed and slowly trying to get back to normal. Okay, because it's a socially accepted thing with the majority to go and get the shot just like a flu shot. Okay, that's why they're rolling it into the same thing. So basically, it never worked. It's still transmissible, doesn't stop it. People are still dying. The death rate worldwide is still climbing. Okay, so natural immunity never got a chance, people, because they made sure they blocked that real time. Otherwise, it never would have made the effect it got. They never would have got their QR coding, and it wouldn't have the fear factor attached to it ready for the next one. If we were allowed to do what nature sort of intends for the human race to do, which is to try and make it survive itself. Okay, it's done pretty well up to this point, but it looks like we've reached a point now where biological warfare is the norm for these elitists with the general population because they don't need us anymore. That's the difference here. Before that, yes, they needed us to buy their stuff. They don't need us to buy their stuff anymore. That's where things have changed, people. Now, just to get back to those stats just for a moment because I'm back on the provisional mortality statistics page, which I'll put all this up. I know I'm behind on lots of things I haven't put up yet, but this stuff will all eventually go up. Just to verify the podcast and all the links. But it's got here, deaths due to COVID-19. Now, this is over an entire year. Okay, so what I did is I looked at 2022 because I wanted to see the biggest year. And it says here, there were 10,095 deaths due to COVID-19 in 2022. It's got 9,732 were doctor certified and 363 coroner referred. And a further 2,901 deaths were due to other causes but had COVID-19 as a contributing factor, i.e. were deaths with COVID-19. See, they don't want you to say deaths from. They want it deaths with. That's how they miss all the statistics, so you don't get a full total. But when I looked at worlddominant.info, as I mentioned before, 2022 was 15,000. So they're 5,000 deaths short. And then they go through the table with... Now, what I wanted to look at is I think they split it up by states. So I just want to have a look at the statistics for Queensland, because they will show it. They'll show the COVID deaths, and then they show Queensland in particular. Surprise, surprise, people, when I look through all the mortality reports, because they're all registered for years behind, they won't list the states, so I can't do a comparison. The closest I got to it was that in January to August 2023, there were 620 deaths in Queensland related to COVID. So that's only for the 7 months or so. And New South Wales is 1,316, so you can see it's double. Then in January to October 2022, so this is the year before, I couldn't get a full year. They won't show a full year, people, on these mortality reports, which is really, really odd. It says 1,473 deaths for Queensland and 3,810 for New South Wales, which is usually double. So no surprises, but I did find this on another website called Actuaries Institute .digital, and it says this is a COVID-19 mortality working group. And it says almost 20,000 excess deaths for 2022 in Australia. And it's got a summary. Total excess mortality for the first 11 months of 2022 is 11%. It says expectation is that excess mortality for the full year of 2022 will be 12%. There will be nearly 20,000 more deaths in 2022 than that would have been expected if the pandemic had not happened. I thought that was very, very interesting. And it says the COVID-19 mortality working group has examined the latest provisional mortality statistics covering deaths among prior to the 30th of November 2022 and registered by 31st of January 2023, released by the Australian Bureau of Statistics on the 24th of February. So there you go, people. It's showing there were 20,000 more deaths expected by the end of 2022 that would have died just that year. And we're up to 22,000 deaths recorded by the worlddominant.info. So statistics don't add up anywhere. The bottom line is, and this is the best way to look at the full picture, because people are dying. You look around you, you're hearing of more people dying younger or from different things than you've ever seen before in your life. And then you're starting to realize the pattern. Australia was one of the first countries to get jabbed. We're going to be one of the first ones with the mortality rate rising. And I'm talking about excess deaths from what is normal prior to the pandemic. Then you're going to know just by looking at basic statistics, and I'm talking about just the worlddominant.info on the total deaths in Australia from the time the jabbing started. And you can just see the absolute climb of a 20,000 more deaths. Just going straight vertical. Even though they say, oh, but there's less deaths over this week and months and this and that and that. Doesn't matter. It's still climbing. And they're going to shift it away from that to other things so that you don't look at the statistic. But I'm telling you, the excess deaths since the pandemic are going to go through the roof worldwide. Needs to be looked at constantly, people. They put this thing in motion knowing it was going to kill people over X amount of years because it's like a Fabian type exercise where they do things gradually. And at the same time, while more people around you are dying, it's creating fear. That's why you hear sirens going up the main roads all the time when nothing's reported in the news, simply because it's a fear thing to make sure people are ready for the next one, which Bill Gates said is coming and you will notice it. Then we'll really see what they're going to try and do to us. That's when it really, really hits people, as they bring in a recession, a massive amount of job losses, and then people thrown on the universal basic income, and then in comes Maxwell's silver hammer. That's when they have total control from that point, okay? You think the big deal is Israel, Hamas, or Ukraine and Russia? That's nothing. Compared to what's coming, they've just lifted all the sanctions in Australia from China. It just goes to show you that there is a cabal at the top controlling world affairs. It's not just country by country or ideology by ideology or even religion by religion. No, there's something bigger and more sinister and controlling sitting on top of all of that. moving the chess pieces around. And it really is shaping up to be some sort of end time. I'm not going to be religious or start sprouting revelation stuff, but it does seem like we're heading towards a pinnacle of something big. Okay, now a lot of people would go, oh, be a bit more optimistic. It's probably a good thing, all these things where we've got electric cars and we've got phones with our cards on it. This is a good thing. What you've got to understand, the cabal or these elitists have been trying to do this for more than 100 years plus. Technology has allowed them to hijack all those good things. Okay, that's the problem. Progress was always going to happen. We're always going to discover how to do the things we're doing today. I mean, that's just natural progression in technology and, you know, just building things and being aware of how the world works. As we move on in the world, we discover all these things through trial and error. That's what the whole world's made up of, success and failure. But the bottom line is there are people out there that now want to control that. They want to make sure there's no way to just come up with an idea, which is what Chairman Mao Zedong feared the most, anymore. They want to make sure they can control all that. Go and watch Brave New World. I put it all up on conspiracyoz.com. These are the movies to go and watch, the 1984 and the Brave New World ones. But watch the earlier ones. They're closer to the real thing. And I know there's a Brave New World TV series I haven't watched yet, but I can see that they're going to put all the political correctness into it. It's lost its sharpness, okay? What it was really about was controlled societies in a totalitarian-type situations. That's what that was. Whether they say it's a good thing or a bad thing doesn't matter. It's controlled. That's the word that you have to be most afraid of, because in a controlled society, you have no more rights anymore. Okay? They're gone. Figment of the past. Now, I'm just going to quote the latest statistics that have come out for COVID. Now, remember, I couldn't do it before. I couldn't get it up to date because the only one I could find was from the 27th of October, actually, 2023, abc.net.au. It's got the latest COVID-19 news and case numbers from around the states and territories. And as you know, they've been spruiking in the news. They tried it again, saying there's another variant coming and that the death rate has climbed. Remember that? And suddenly it's disappeared off the news again because nobody gave a hoot. So reading off from what they're saying, this is prior to the hoo-ha that just came out. It says, here's a quick wrap of the COVID-19 news and case numbers from each Australian jurisdiction for the past week as reported on Friday, October the 27th, 2023. And this is all I could find, people. Australian Capital Territory, 370 new COVID-19 cases, 19 people in hospital, 1 in intensive care, 1 new death reported. Then you've got New South Wales. New South Wales' new COVID-19 reporting process now works on a 7-day rolling average system, which I've read out before in previous podcasts. It says the state recorded 273 average daily cases as of October the 24th. It says there are 7-day rolling average to zero new deaths as of October the 24th, 733 patients in hospital, 12 in intensive care, and it's not even reporting if there's any deaths. It just says, I'm just looking at it now, there's no zero new deaths. There it is. Sorry, I've already read it. So nobody died. So far, only one. Northern Territory, it says 238 new cases, and it says 11 patients in hospital, and it says 111 deaths since the start of the pandemic, so obviously nothing, people. Queensland, see how they're just letting it slide, so it's not important anymore. Something to not even read. It says the state recorded 133 average daily cases, and it says zero new deaths of October the 24th, 122 cases in the hospital, one in intensive care, so nothing to see. Just as same as the flu, people. South Australia, 1,069 new COVID-19 cases, so that's up. It says, and 62 patients in hospital, 2 in intensive care, no new deaths. So, again, getting through it. The jab must be working, people. Tasmania, 469 new COVID cases, 355 up from 355 from last week. So, still the same. And it says 9 people in hospital, 2 in intensive care. And it's still not mentioning deaths because it says 315 deaths since 2020. So, obviously, no deaths there either. Victoria, it says 201 average daily cases, and it says there is 7-day rolling average of 2 new deaths of October the 24th, 233 patients in hospital, 30 in intensive care. So again, we're rolling around. Nobody cares, people. The last one, Western Australia, 304 new COVID-19 cases, and it says 39 people in hospital with the virus, none in intensive care, with four new deaths. So we're looking at virtually nothing. Now, remember, that was just for that period, that week, just a week. So not really a big indicator of what is reported at worlddominant.info, where they've got, and they're showing here too, this is for the total cases in Australia as from the beginning of the pandemic to now. Now, when the jabbing started in 2021, right, we're talking about February, there were roughly about, scrolling through the graph now. So around about February 2021, there was about 28,000 cases of coronavirus. This is when people were starting, oh, we're all going to die. And that plateaued all the way up. The jabbing started, remember? Then the cases started to grow. And by just the end of 2021, 200,000 cases. Okay, now we know that they went, oh, we've got a new variant and the jab doesn't work. Then it skyrocketed from November 2021. It skyrocketed all the way up to, and I'm going to go to the next November, November 22 to 10.1 million. So I'm sorry, people. That's the real reality of the statistics. All the other hogwash of the how many people died per week and all this, that's the reality, people. 10.1 million just of November 2022, okay? And then it kept rising, got to 11 million in February 2023, and then it got to 12 million, which is almost at now, okay, in December 2023. So you can see, and I can see, that when the jabbing started, that's when the transmission started and the death rate went through the roof. So it didn't work, and they still want you to keep jabbing. Okay, so this is what I was saying. So basically, I need to expose all the COVID rats in Australia that push this hoax, which is still going. They're still saying to keep getting jabbed all the time. The latest stories keep saying it all the time on the news, keep promoting it all the time. And businesses will still want people to get boosters. It's still talked about. It's not a thing gone away. It's just like getting the flu shot now. So just the problem is every time people get these shots, it's going to get worse for them all the way. And Pfizer just keeps ka-chinging all the way to the bank, and all the major shareholders with the Bill Gateses and all them keep making profits off a slow kill. So what I did, people, is I wanted to get the actual death count for Australia since probably far back. This is like total deaths for everything. Far back as 2016, and do a comparison to what's happened with the excess death that have come since COVID. Regardless of whether COVID-19 killed you or not, the vaccine was supposed to stop it. Remember, that's why we all did it. I didn't do it, but that's why most people did in Australia, because they were told it would work, okay, and it wouldn't transmit the disease. So that was the whole purpose of the whole exercise from day one. So this is Australian Bureau of Statistics information, by the way, people. In 2016, in Australia, 158,504 deaths were recorded. Okay, now statistics. That's what we can go by. This is what the world ticks by, statistics. In this case, it's the Australian Bureau of Statistics. So in 2017, we had 160,909 deaths. So this is how the averages work. That's an extra 2,000. Then when you get 2018, 158,493, which is actually less. So it actually dropped the death rate. Then when you get 2019, 169,301. So it started to grow. And we know why. By 2020, it actually went back to normal statistics. Can you believe it, people? This is when the pandemic was on its way and everyone was getting vaccinated and they said, oh, you're all going to be fine. But it was only the beginning of it. So actually not when the vaccination started. I was wrong there. They didn't start till 2021. But anyway, 161,300. And you're thinking, wow, that's a big drop from 2019 when it was 169,000. So it dropped down from about 8,000 people. This is, I mean, the population's still increasing. We understand that, but not massively, okay? Then we get to 2021, 171,469. And you go, okay, that's a big jump. From when you started out in 2016 and 158,000, then you jumped to 171,000, you know, in about 5 years' time. That's a big jump from an average where you can see it was sort of just jumping around here and there. It was on... it did spike in 2019 to 169, and then it dropped down to 161 in 2020, but then in 2021, it spiked back up to 171. Then we hit, when everyone's been vaccinated, 2022, 190,000 deaths in Australia. Now you can see the 20,000 excess deaths. Okay, and they're going to go, oh, it was COVID. Well, that's what's recorded with the worlddominant.info. That's correct. But it doesn't stop there, people. Now I wanted the 2023 statistics. And of course, it's not the end of 2023 yet. We're only, you know, a few weeks away, but they're not going to give you statistics that don't exist yet. So they're going to give you statistics up to a point. So I found January to May with the ABS, and it had the total was 73,423. And I thought, well, that's January, February, March, April, May. That's 5 months. 73,005 months. I said, I wonder if this is going to clock close to the 2022 one. And then I found another ABS one that actually went to August. So we're talking January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August. So we actually clocked on an extra 3 months onto the last statistics, and it went up to 122,112. These are the deaths recorded in Australia. Now look at the difference between that and the 190,000 in 2022, and then you go back prior to the pandemic, and it's around 160, 158, 160. You see what's happened, people. 20 to 30,000 more people have died, and they'll just say, oh, it's just bad luck. More cancers, more this, more that. Really? Really? So let's see that in the next September, October, November, December, 4 months of stats, let's see if it can get to 190,000. Then you know there are excess deaths every year that should not be there. Sometimes up of nearly 20,000 people dying that should not be dying. Okay, now remember, they're not huge statistics to globalists. That's nothing. That's a drop in the water. But you multiply that all around the world to the actual death rate, and you're talking a significant millions of people dying that shouldn't be dying. Okay, and continuing to get the jab that does absolutely nothing, and people will continue to die because there's no natural immunity. Okay, the more jabs, no natural immunity. You understand, people? This is how it works. That's why they keep telling you to get the jabs. Okay, and anyway, and then they'll bring in the second pandemic, which I think is just around the corner, tying with the recession, and that's going to hit hard because people have been trained up with the QR coding on their phones. They know about lockdowns. This is why it's so important that we call out these people that let this happen in Australia. And the rest of the world has its own little cabal of minions that did as they were told. That's why it's important. So without much ado, I'm going to get into the next. I'll do three each podcast. I don't want to use the whole podcast up with this all the time. It is an important topic. But at the same time, there's a lot of other things going on in the world. I'm just trying to get this out of the way because I'm noticing now that just about all of them have quit. And we need to figure out where they've ended up. So some of them have just quit. Obviously, we're not going to find out where they've gone. But we do know some people where they've gone. We know where Gladys Berejiklian went. That's not a mystery. Everyone knows all about her because Optus was in the news. She was like one of the top honchers promoted into Optus after the debacle of what was the New South Wales government when she got chased out because of the supposed criminal charges. Okay, so we'll look into that. But she got promoted in Optus. And of course, then we had the big hack, didn't we, where it all went down and 10 million people had their, had everything exposed. This is the year before. And then the next lot, which was just recently, where Optus actually went down and people couldn't access their devices or their livelihoods. And of course, you know, that's nothing to do with her, is it? No, not at all. Why would it be? Don't point the finger. Oh, no. But when you think about it, that's going to make people want to get even further into the digital ID, because they're going to tell you, well, you could have your ID hacked. You need to have it digital. I mean, this is why these things occur. Sometimes these back doors are there to promote something in the bigger picture. And the globalists don't care. Their agenda is so important, and they don't care what company they pay out or what they do to get something through. Okay, so I wouldn't be surprised in the future if we found out that that was another false flag, even though we know that all around us cyber hacking is happening everywhere, and you just don't know what's the real hacks and what are the promoted ones where you've got an inside job happening. You know, this is what I'm saying, people. It all moves the agenda quicker, and to me, that's pretty obvious. So without much ado, let's get into Michael Gunner, the Northern Territory Minister that did a runner. I used to love saying Gunnery to Runner, but he had the staring eyes and couldn't wait to lock everyone down. And remember all the camps that he set up, all the quarantine centres where he just bailed all the people up. And it was, that was just a nightmare, people. That was one of the worst places next to Victoria. And then he did a runner, and of course that was when he was one of the first. So it says here, I'm just going into his wiki, so we can just his Wikipedia and find out if we can see if there's been any Jimmy Wales has let any cats out of the bag, and you'll wait till you see what job he went to, people. Anyway, it says the Australian former politician who was the 11th Chief Minister of the Northern Territory from 2016 to 2022. And it says, now I'm just going to go straight down to the COVID thing. We don't want to know about his life and how well he did and all that sort of stuff. We just want to know what happened to him. So it's got COVID-19 pandemic. It's only a tiny paragraph too, people. It says, Gunner led the Northern Territory's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. It says, and it's got in October, this is it. And there's just one tiny bit. I mean, they're so protected, these people. It says in October 2021, the United States Senator from Texas, Ted Cruz, posted a tweet that was critical of the Northern Territory's vaccine mandates. And that's it. That's all there is about the COVID-19 with one of the guys, one of the worst in Australia. That's it. It just shows you just how powerful. Even online, how they don't want anyone to know anything about these people because you got the death threats too, see? And there's nothing in here. I'll find some other, I've got tons of other articles that I've got on him that I'll put up. As I put them up weekly, I'll put up the little, and it's just like a bit of a sneak preview into the COVID-19, the class of COVID-19. Because we're coming to the end of it. They're all doing a runner. And Gunner was the most classic because Gunner did a runner. And it's got here, in November 2022, Gunner joined Fortescue Future Industries. He was promoted to lead the FFI's Australian West Division in April 2023. So do you want to know what that is, people? It's a globalist. You got it. A globalist promoted him, and I'll get the article up now. And it's got here, this is ABC. Former NT Chief Minister Michael Gunner to join Andrew Forrest. That's Twiggy, people. With renewable energy company at the Fortescue Future Industries, October the 9th, 2022. So this is like a year ago, people. This is how you get rewarded for being a minion for the globalists. It says Michael Gunner will take on a new role with the Australian billionaire Andrew Twiggy Forrest's renewable energy company 6 months after resigning as a Northern Territory's chief minister. So he lied low for 6 months and then bang, bags of gold thrown at his feet and off he goes. So no surprises there, people, with that guy at all. Now, a lot of the things he did, and this is what, just to remind people what some of these people did, because didn't want to go straight to the juggling and tell you what he was doing straight after he resigned, but let's get into the death threats, and I'll show you why they really resign. Okay, when you type in on a search for Gunner, death threats, you'll get absolute pages and pages of search results going on about all the death threats. So you can see why this guy did a runner back in 2022, because and he kept saying that it was his wife and child that were copying it, the death threats, but it's really him. And they always say that. They always try and, he's a politician. So this came out in skynews.com.au, and it came out on October the 19th, 2021, so almost 2 years ago. Northern Territory Chief Minister Michael Gunner says his wife and son were forced to flee house amid threats from anti-vaccination protesters. It's got Chief Minister Michael Gunner said precautions had to be taken because of the threats that were made in the wake of the Northern Territory's government's announcement of a COVID-19 vaccine mandate for certain workers. So this is the beginning of it, people. And it's got the NT Chief Minister Michael Gunner has revealed his wife and son had to leave the house, demonstrated, shouted Mr. Gunner's home address and threatened to attack him at a rally held in Darwin on Saturday. Says Mr. Gunner told Sky News Australia he was extremely worried about his wife and son's safety. I think it's more about himself. He sounds like a Gunner did a runner. It says the priority was obviously people knew where we lived. It was a rally. It was on the internet. You had no idea who was watching. And my clear instinct was obviously don't be at the house. the advice we received was, don't be at the house and say, Christian Hudson got out of the house. See, I mean, this is what happens when these minions do this. What do they expect when they turn people's lives upside down for a hoax? And now it's known as a hoax. So that's why they do a run of people. They realize that what they've done is actually put their own head on the chopping block. But bags of gold and, you know, lots of encouragement from the elites above force their hand. But there you go. So that's why Gunner did a runner. Nothing to do with, oh, well, you know, I've had enough in politics now. I'm sort of out. Nah, that's the real reason. The real reason is that he did a mandate of vaccine mandates on a whole population in the Northern Territory, and they didn't want to do it. And so people sometimes actually stand up for what they believe. And in this case, it sounds like, and they're going to paint them as terrorists all the time, but it sounds like it's just, to me, mums and dads that just want to get on with their lives and they can't. So you'll get someone like this that says they've got death threats and they'll say things like this. I think I'll find another one. Here we go. This is from the abc.net.au and it came out on December the 21st, 2021. And it says, it just says December, sorry. It says 1st of December 2021. Got it right. NT Chief Minister Michael Gunner reveals anti-vaxxer death threats against family as police investigate. And it's got, during a COVID-19 press conference in Darwin, Mr. Gunner was asked whether he knew of any death threats against politicians following this week's closure of the Northern Territory's Parliament's public galleries due to security threats. And he says, I have received death threats on a number of occasions, Mr. Gunner said. Not just me, my family. I've been told my kid will be put in a grave. Mr. Gunner appeared visibly shaken for about 15 seconds before he composed himself. And it's got, and it just goes on. So straight away, he's making sure you think it's his kid that's getting killed and not him. But it's really him they're after, people. But still, the next story is from the 10th of November 2021. So this is prior to the death threats or all over the ABC News. It's got NT police lay further charges following violent anti-vaccine protests in Darwin. So this is the beginning of it. It says Northern Territory police have charged several more protesters over what they have described as riotous behaviour at an anti-vaccine mandate demonstration. So 500 protesters. And this is, and remember, the NT is not a big place. There's not many people there. So for them to get out in droves like that, and to be that serious, it was very dangerous, okay? And this is why the politicians didn't bank on. They know some people were going to get off their high horses and try and do something, but they didn't realise that this is not a thing to do to Australians in any way. And a lot of people did get jabbed because they believed they were doing the right thing. They're not going to do it anymore, and they know it, okay? This is the problem that we have now, is that they're still trying to promote it. People don't want to know about it, okay? The majority don't care. Even when Gunner did a run-up, days after his resignation from his office, it was broken into. It says Michael Gunner's office broken into in a personal attack days after resignation. 2nd of August 2022, abc.net.au, the Northern Territory's former Chief Minister Michael Gunner's electorate office has been broken into days after he quits politics in what he has described as the latest in a series of personal attacks. So there you go. It's just not going to stop. And they think they've all done a runner. They've all got away with it, but they have not. That's what I'm doing now. And this is some of the stories back in the day. You've got coronavirus vaccine rollout begins in the Northern Territory's frontline workers get first Pfizer shots. 22nd of February 2021, abc.net.au. So straight away you can see, straight away the shareholders are cashing in from day one. And where does Gunner end up? In the pocket of a billionaire. Say no more, people. And just to rub salt into the wound, in 2022 it says the ICAC boss reveals former Chief Minister Michael Gunner declined to hand over cabinet documents. This is a serious thing too, people. 29th of July 2022, abc.net.au. The Northern Territory's anti-corruption bosses revealed former Chief Minister Michael Gunner declined a request to hand over cabinet documents to the ICAC that were subject of a serious allegation. So there you go. Doesn't care. These people are above the law. Gunner did a runner. And now one of my personal favourites, Gladys Berejiklian, the New South Wales, the ex-New South Wales Premier. This one was one that personally affected me because I'm in New South Wales. So her mandates and her finger pointing were directed at people like myself. Her wiki starts out with the Honourable Gladys Berejiklian. That's just unbelievable. I'm going straight to COVID. There's no point in going through the career and all that because it's a career politician. How else would they get the minions' job straight off? So it's got here. I'll see if I can get the COVID thing. If it's even in here, I'd be actually surprised. It's not. I knew it wouldn't be in here, people, because, it's not even here. It doesn't say anything. I'm actually surprised. I did think it would have something, like even one sentence. Nothing, people. There is nothing in her portfolio for the Wikipedia to do with COVID-19, and she was probably one of the worst. So I'm just going through here to see if I can find something, because they'd have to put something in. They can't just put nothing in at all. It's just the way they've worded it, so she's not in there. So I think I'll go on to where it says resignation. It says October 2021, so 2 years ago, people. New South Wales ICAC announced an investigation into whether Berejiklian breached public trust or encouraged corrupt behaviour during her relationship with Darryl Maguire. With the ICAC announcement, Berejiklian announced her intention to resign as Premier and as member of the Legislative Assembly. Honourable. Her supporters started petitions to keep her as Premier. This is incredible. It says she later announced she would be spending her last days in an office addressing local concerns before officially resigning as member of the Legislative Assembly on the 30th of December 2021. So she got out early, people. She got out early before it hit the fan, big time. Now it says the ICAC report and finding of corrupt behaviour. So now they've put the actual result. It says finding from the ICAC case was subsequently delayed and thus not released before the 2023 state election. Funny that. On the 29th of June 2023, the ICAC found that Berejiklian had engaged in serious corrupt conduct. But the ICAC did not recommend that criminal charges be pursued due to the difficulties in mounting a prosecution and the unlikelihood that the Director of Public Prosecutions would follow such a recommendation. So you can be a criminal and get off and still keep honourable on your Wikipedia. Incredible, people. And then it says, wait a minute, here we go. In September 2023, so only a few months back, Berejiklian lodged legal action against the the ICAC, seeking judicial review of their findings against her. It's got Mark Forbes, director of Icon Reputation, whoever that is, said to The Guardian Australia that he believed Berejiklian's legal challenge was likely an attempt to redress reputational baggage for potential future business or political opportunities. No, she's in Optus. She just thinks she's bigger than the truth. And that's the thing that's happened here. Because she had to leave because of the accusations against her, which were true. And I think the guy that she was going out with has been done as well. I think it's here. I think I'll find the article. There it is. Former MP Darryl Maguire charged with giving false evidence to the ICAC. 26th of June 2023. So there you go. It sticks, people. It says, former Wagga Wagga MP Darryl Maguire has been charged with giving false and misleading evidence to the New South Wales anti-corruption watchdog and will face court this week, days before the release of investigation into him and former Premier Gladys Berejiklian. So you can see that she got off and he did not. End of story. But there you go. You can still get away with, well, not murder, but you can get away with, jabbing lots of people and indirectly murdering them. By doing a backdoor runner, which is exactly what she's done. And she didn't go out lightly, people. She ran straight into the arms of Optus. And it says here, just to, this is the part that I laughed when I saw this. It says, hang on, I'll see if I can find it first. I won't go, I'll put all the links up. There's lots of links to her, all right? I don't want to go through them all like the last one because Berejiklian's is quite substantial. There are a lot of links to a lot of things she did. But I just wanted to find out, okay, where did she end up? Okay, so it's got here, I'll just go through the headlines. How's that, people? Rather than get caught up. Because you can see they put nothing about COVID at all into her Wikipedia. So that says something, doesn't it, people? So it's got, and this is from the abc.net.au, from the 25th of January 2021. So all that time ago, people. Almost forgotten, isn't it? But no, I haven't forgotten. It says vaccine, just one part of the New South Wales Coronavirus Strategy Premier Gladys Berejiklian says. It says, New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian warns the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine will be complicated and difficult. She remains confident in her management of COVID-19. So there you go. This is an actual strategist. Not mentioned nothing in a Wikipedia. Move on to the next headline. Gladys Berejiklian urges Australia to be less rigid in its approach to COVID vaccine rollout. April 2021, abc.net.au. The Premier Gladys Berejiklian has urged Australia to crack on with its vaccine rollout. Amid concerns, elderly people are cancelling their jab appointments. They got onto it pretty quick, didn't they? They could see what she was up to. Next headline. It's got, actually, that's not, that's just a live update one. That's in the wrong spot. The next one is, I love this one, the picture on it. I might use this as her picture, people. It's just a classic. It's 23rd of July 2021, abc.net.au. New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian wants other states to let Sydney have their Pfizer COVID vaccine. She's not happy, people. She wants more. She's not getting enough. It says health authorities in New South Wales have called for Australia's COVID-19 vaccine strategy to focus on southwest Sydney, where the virus outbreak is now a national emergency. This is the that was one of the most locked down places in Sydney, people. I still remember Fairfield and all those places around there. That's where the Muslim majority are. She locked them down so much. There were police outside the supermarkets. I remember way back then. It was unbelievable the sort of lockdown measurements she did to those people, where they couldn't even leave what they call the LGA, the local government area. It became a thing. Is your LGA locked down? Yep. It's a common thing in New South Wales. Moving on to the next headline. And this is October the 28th, 2022. skynews.com.au. ICAC delays corruption report into former New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian more than 1 year after her resignation. That's how much time she had out, where she could go and figure out, what would I like to do? Well, this is what she did. abc.net.au, 11th of February 2022. Former New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian appointed to new position at Optus. That's right, she got, there's the bags of gold just thrown in front of her. Just months after she quit as New South Wales Premier during a corruption investigation, can you believe this, people? Gladys Berejiklian has been appointed to an executive role at the telecommunications giant Optus. Miss Berejiklian will take on a newly created role of Managing Director, Enterprise Business and Institutional. So there you go. Optus CEO Kelly Bayer-Rosmarin said Miss Berejiklian was a proven leader who demonstrated strength, discipline and composure during her time as Premier. Now, this ties in with what's just happened to Rosmarin and Optus recently as well, people. But I'll just keep going through it just quickly. Next one. This is a classic. This is the Australian Financial Review, AFR.com. Optus attack, a wake-up call for boards. It says this is clearly one of the great corporate debacles in terms of brand damage. Perhaps the CEO should ask her new hire, the former New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian, for advice. No chief executive would ever want to be in Kelly Bayer-Rosmarin's position. But by now, they should recognise how vulnerable they all are to similar cyber attacks. Deputy Prime Minister Richard Marles calls it a wake-up call for corporate Australia. So she's just gone straight into the role and bang, they get hit with a cyber attack. Funny that, people. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? And it says, and this is classic as well, people. This is September the 28th, 2022. And this is from skynews.com.au. Gladys Berejiklian is the right woman to save Optus following a major cyber attack, says former top cop. And it's got, the former New South Wales Police Commissioner said Optus should be utilising Gladys Berejiklian's background in crisis management following the major data breach that impacted almost 10 million customers. Does that ring a bell, people? And I'm just seeing who the former, it's Mick Fuller, the former police minister, has also been given the door. Through corruption as well. This is insane. These people are all in bed with each other, people. It's just, and they all back each other up every time. So bags of gold are flying left, right and centre here, people. Yeah, this is the same police commissioner in the COVID-19 pandemic who entered a state of emergency lockdown due to the worldwide COVID-19 pandemic. Commissioner Fuller was appointed the State Emergency Operations Controller. Don't you love the word controller? And then he was done later for owning two horses, racehorses, and not declaring them. Of course, you know, you don't have to declare anything when you're above everybody else. But I didn't realise about this. It says, and this headline's from theguardian.com, and it came out on 25th of May 2023. PwC tax scandal. Staff stood down over concerns, problems significantly broader than one partner. It's got former New South Wales Police Commissioner and now PwC partner Mick Fuller contacted his friend, the Australian Federal Police Commissioner, after scandal broke, Senate estimates told. So I'm not going to read any more about it. They're all crooks. They all know each other. This is how it works, people. And Berejiklian was in, had him as her attack dog at the time, and that's how it stands. Unbelievable. And I'll just finish off that other article I was reading that was from skynews.com.au, where Mick Fuller says, Mr. Fuller, who now works at Big Four accountancy firm PricewaterhouseCooper, in crisis management, said Optus should be utilising the experience of Miss Berejiklian. It's just, they all know each other. It's just a crazy. Moving on to the next story, it's got New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian resigns after the ICAC announces investigation. TheGuardian.com. And it's got October, 1st of October 2021. So this is when she finally realises it's time to go. The next story is former, oh, that's the one I've already read about, Darren Maguire. So he's gone, and that's why she had to quit, she says, but she got out. This is the back door for her. It's a way for her to get out of this. And it says for the next article, and this is more recent, 1st of July 2023, the heavy punishment Gladys Berejiklian faces despite legal charges being ruled out. Now, this is news headlines about the corruption watchdog's findings against Gladys Berejiklian this week left many scratching their heads. Corrupt but no charges, that's the headline. And it's got a picture of her smiling away. So that's what happens, people, when you do corrupt things. You get rewarded if you're a minion. That's what I'm trying to say. And the next story, this is 24th of July 2023, abc.net.au. ICAC chief to probe delay in Gladys Berejiklian report, possible maladministration. Can't read it anymore. It just shows you how corrupt everything really is. Moving on to the next one. It's got Optus CEO Kelly Bayer-Rosmarin fronted a Senate inquiry today. Here's what she had to say, and that's about, that's an abc.net.au story. 17th of November 2023. That's about when Optus copped the, when it 10 million people couldn't access their phones. They couldn't eat. They couldn't do anything for about, I think it was 14 hours, and then everything went back to normal for more than, I think it was 14 million people. That shows you how many people are silly enough to be with Optus, which is Singtel, a Singaporean company. Anyway, I'll just finish up with these Berejiklian little stories and we'll move on to other candidates of the COVID rats of Oz. This one's from yahoo.com and it says Game Changer. It came out on the 11th of February 2022, just for the time frame. It says Game Changer. Gladys Berejiklian's surprise new job. And it says former New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian has been appointed to Optus's executive leadership team. It says taking on the role as managing director, enterprise, business and institutional just 4 months after resigning from political life. And she says, I'm excited and proud to join an organisation that impacts the lives of millions of Australians. Well, that's exactly what it does, people. And it says, Optus chief executive, who's resigned now, by the way, people, Kelly Bayer-Rosmarin, gave high praise to Berejiklian, who she said would help bring diverse experience and new ways of thinking to the company. Is she going to try and lock them down, is she? Anyway, that's all it was there. It says, but the next one was a classic. And this story came out after the CEO of Optus, Kelly Bayer-Rosmarin, resigned. And it came out on skynews.com.au on November the 10th, 2023. So pretty up to date now, people. Gladys Berejiklian, the obvious candidate to replace Optus CEO Kelly Bayer-Rosmarin if she is ousted, which she was, amid ongoing backlash over the telco's nationwide 14-hour network outage. It's got former New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian has been floated as one candidate who could take the top job at Optus as the incumbent boss continues to cop backlash over Wednesday's major network blackout. Well, she actually resigned in the end anyway, people, but don't think the story went too well for Gladys anyway, as I read on. It says there has been rumours that Mrs. Berejiklian, the former Premier who was in charge of New South Wales for almost 5 years, could replace incumbent CEO Calabar Rosmarin. The ex-politician decided to step down as the state's Liberal leader in late 2021 after the ICAC announced an investigation into her relationship with former MP Darryl Maguire. So we know how that ended, people. So there was the optimism of thinking that... That's right, the Wicked Witch of New South Wales could move into the top job of Optus, which just people just got blacked out for 14 hours, actually nearly cost lives, and hundreds and thousands of businesses had to close because they couldn't operate for almost the whole day. But that's no big deal because, remember, it's not an Australian company. It's a Singaporean company called Singtel that run Optus, but, never mind. But we know how that ended anyway. She didn't get the top job because of this story. It says, Gladys Berejiklian unlikely to become Optus CEO due to corruption findings. Isn't that interesting, people? It says there are calls for the former Premier Gladys Berejiklian to step in as chief of the embattled company, but there's one glaring issue stopping her. This is November the 21st, 2023, news.com.au. It says, doubts continue to swirl around the idea of former New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian taking over the top job at Optus. It says the embattled telecommunications company former chief Kelly Bayer Rosmarin announced she was stepping down on Monday after overseeing two major crises in just 13 months. It says Optus parent company Singtel has launched a global search for her replacement, but some are suggesting they won't have to look far with Ms. Berejiklian currently working for the company. It says NCA Newswire understands that the former premier has flagged her interest in the role and becoming responsible for managing the company's business customers in early 2022. However, any decision to promote Ms. Berejiklian could be seen as risky after she was found to have engaged in serious corrupt conduct by the New South Wales Independent Commission Against Corruption over her involvement with former partner Darryl Maguire, then the MP of Wagga Wagga. Despite Ms. Berejiklian appealing the findings, many are saying the ICAC rulings mean that she is unlikely to be considered for the top job. So there you go, people. So she won't get it. But she's got a lot of supporters because she was, the Iron Lady of COVID in those years. But now the rat has run and run to a foreign company. Doesn't surprise me, people. And just to top that off, in another story, just finding this other one, dailymail.co.uk came out, I think it was recent actually, no it wasn't, it was a year ago, not so recent, but she was spotted in Double Bay in Sydney, in a ritzy sort of suburb, very affluent, 26th of October 2022, and it says, and this is interesting because you've got to read this, people, you've got to hear this, I should say, Gladys Berejiklian is spotted shopping in one of Sydney's glitziest suburbs in first public outing since 11.2 million of her customers at Optus had their data stolen by cyber hackers. What a headline, people. But what I wanted to read wasn't that. Further down it says, and this is very interesting, this is how you get rewarded. This is why I try and find out where they end up, because they get very, very well rewarded. Considering in the government she was getting $400,000 a year, right, people? It says her Optus salary has not been revealed, but her Telstra equivalent, David Burns, Group Executive Enterprise, takes home $1.1 million a year. So she's definitely getting more than the Australian government was paying her. So she's jumped ship, hasn't she? And just to bring it up to date with where she's at, but not so much what she's earning, but more corruption. This is from theindependentaustralia.net. It came out the 30th of March, 2023. Exclusive. Optus political donations made under Berejiklian sketchy. It says an AEC form, that's the Australian Electoral Commission form, reveals Optus made questionable political donations after Gladys Berejiklian was appointed a senior executive to the foreign-owned telco last year. It says Over 90% of the donations to Singaporean government-owned telco Optus made to Australian political parties last financial year were made under the former New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian. Now, that is absolute. That should be headlines. It also can be revealed the vast majority of the $69,900 donations made, despite it being illegal for foreign donors to donate $100 or more, were made just weeks before last year's federal election. A form lodged by Optus with the Australian Electoral Commission showed $63,300 of donations, just over 90%, were made after Berejiklian was appointed a senior executive in February last year. Of the $69,900, the vast majority of the money was donated to the political parties just weeks before the May federal election. There you go, people. So a leopard doesn't change its spots. So basically what I'll be covering are the political leaders of each state and territory at the time of COVID and the ones that have done runners, which is about all of them now, and also the heads of the medical or the health departments as well. Some of them are doctors, some are not, okay? And they're the ones that actually were the minions for COVID, okay? That have done the dirty deal for the globalist elites to push through an agenda that we're getting very close to. So this is why they need to be named and shamed. We can't just let them get away with it and go off to cushy jobs and big payouts because that's what usually happens. They get rewarded. If we keep naming and shaming them, I don't know if they'll go away, but it'll definitely, for the next lot to come with the next pandemic, maybe they'll think twice about what might happen to them. I'll just see if Berejiklian got death threats, because I didn't actually hear of any while she was in, so I'm just curious if she did. I'm not surprised if she did anyway, and then I'll finish up with her. Ironically, it doesn't seem like she copped death threats. Like, there were some things in there, but nothing major like the other guys. Probably because she got out in time. That's probably why. But there was one that I saw that I'd need to mention. This is in February the 20th, 2019. So right, pretty much not really the pandemic. So that's quite ironic, isn't it, people? News.com.au. But I just thought I'd mention it because it was sort of funny. It says New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian threatened with thousands of poos on her doorstep. It says the New South Wales Premier is the target of a bizarre protest over her stance on pill testing, and police are pulling out all stops to prevent it. It says thousands of social media users have committed to leave a poo on the New South Wales Premier's doorstep, prompting police to try and prevent the motion. More than 11,000 people have registered their interest on a satirical Facebook page to leave a poo at Gladys Berejiklian's doorstep in response to her stance against pill testing, with almost 3,000 confirming their attendance. Obviously, it didn't happen, but so no major death threats. I mean, there's some headlines there, but nothing right up the top. The only one I can see that was the 19th of August 2021 was the Daily Mail .co.uk article, and it says exclusive: fed up Sydney siders spray death threat to Gladys Berejiklian on the side of a train as tensions boil over at ultra lockdown in city's western suburbs. It's got frustrated Sydney siders have unleashed their fury at the New South Wales Premier by sending her a death threat on the side of a city train as tensions hit a breaking point. In Sydney's COVID-hit western suburbs, the hateful words "kill Gladys Hazard," offering a worrying insight to the rising discontent felt by residents in the 12 local councils enduring the ultra-hard lockdown. So there you go. So, and when it says Hazard, they're talking about Brad Hazard, who was the health minister in New South Wales. And he resigned too. He did a runner as well. So I might mention him next, actually, because keeping with the New South Wales cabal, I could say. But yeah, I'm looking at a picture of the train. It's got Kill Gladys Hazard. So they mean the two of them, which is pretty serious. I mean, but still, they really did suffer. The lockdowns there were just like phenomenal. And Hazard was a real crim. Like the way he just looked at people down his nose was just, it was, you couldn't believe this could happen in Australia. And you couldn't believe that these people, that to my opinion are like criminals, got away with it. They abused their power to the absolute max. And that's why they shouldn't be rewarded. And so I'd like to see what Brad Hazard is up to at this stage too, because I think I think he just retired and ran away, but I'll see if he got death threats like on his own. That would be interesting to know. I might look that up now. Yeah, well, Brad Hazzard, I remember him. He was the finger pointer. He's a career politician. He's pretty close to where I am on the Northern Beaches, but I don't have much to do with him, obviously. I've just seen his office on the Northern Beaches on the main drag. You see it around, but still, no longer. But it says here, and I'll see if it's got any COVID things, because a lot of these people have had it taken out of their Wikipedia. And I'm actually surprised, because they were really the face of it. He was the face of COVID in New South Wales for all the time until he retired. So it doesn't say anything on his Wikipedia, which is really, really interesting, because, I'm just reading it now and I can't find anything in there that's got anything to do with it. It doesn't even say anything at all. It's just got, on the 25th of October 2022, Hazzard announced his retirement from politics. But yeah, it doesn't say anything. He was the health minister during COVID in New South Wales. And a lot of people, he had a lot of fingers pointed at him as well, I can tell you. So the Wikipedia is pretty much non-existent for him. And then it moves on. It says, New South Wales Health Minister Brad Hazzard reveals he is the victim of fraudulent COVID-19 test reporting. 18th of January 2022, abc.net.au. It says, the New South Wales Health Minister says he's been the victim of fraudulent COVID-19 test report and says those responsible for the moronic act will be punished. It says, Brad Hazzard said he received a notification from New South Wales Health that someone had registered a positive rapid antigen test under his name. The system for self-reporting rats went live last week, and through the Service New South Wales app, or website, people must register their positive result with details including their mobile number. Mr. Hazzard said whoever had made a fake report with his details was juvenile and extremely irresponsible. It says, you are undermining what the public health system is trying to do here to keep the entire community safe. It is moronic. So the health minister said police would come hunting for anyone who misrepresents information to New South Wales Health and could issue $5,000 fines. So he's still threatening even on the way out. I mean, it's just, it was typical of him. He's a career politician that was enjoying every moment, even though at the end, I think he broke down, but it was like, yeah, well, you know, you're a target, buddy. This is it. You were the face of COVID in New South Wales, apart from Berejiklian. So it says here, and this is October the 24th, 2022, so not long after, New South Wales Health Minister Brad Hazzard announces retirement from politics. It says the Health Minister Brad Hazzard has announced he will retire from politics at next year's state election after 3 decades in Parliament. So I wonder what made him go after 30 years, people. It says he described his 6 years as Health Minister, half of which was largely occupied with the COVID-19 pandemic, as the best of times and the worst of times. Yeah, and he says, it's time to focus on my family. They always say that, people. Now, I don't want to read the rest because it's all about his career and how great he is and all that sort of stuff, as they always do when they retire. But the next one says, I like the headline of this, people. It's a classic. Now, this is not long after that. 25th of October, 2022. COVID tyrant Brad Hazzard finally breaks down on live radio after finally announcing his retirement from politics after a 32-year reign. This is on the dailymail.co.uk. And it says, New South Wales Health Minister Brad Hazzard fought back tears when speaking of his decision to retire from politics following the death of his younger brother. So he's using that as a reason why he's retiring. It says, Mr. Hazzard on Monday night revealed he wouldn't be contesting another 4-year term at the next state election. So I'm not going to go into anything to do with his personal things, but I'm going to move on to the next story. It says, I like this part. This was October the 30th, so a week after that report, 2022, sydneymorningherald.com.au, I want to live again. Brad Hazzard's exit interview came earlier than expected. It says, Health Minister Brad Hazzard, 71, announced his forthcoming retirement this week. And it says, this is actually a transcript. It looks like a radio interview, so I just grabbed it. I like that headline, but... And finally, he got a job, people. He got a job October the 13th, 2023. Manlyobserver.com.au. Brad Hazzard announced as new chair of CareFlight. CareFlight has today announced a key change in its leadership with long-serving chair, the Honourable Dr. Andrew Refugee, to be succeeded by former New South Wales Health Minister Brad Hazzard. Mr. Hazzard has been appointed as Director of CareFlight and joins the board in the role of Deputy Chair. Following a period of transition, Mr. Hazzard will step into the role of Chair in 2024. Mr. Hazzard commented that it was a privilege to be appointed Deputy Chair and Chair Designate of CareFlight. So I'm not going to read into it. It's actually the helicopter that flies around on the northern beaches. It's like a medical helicopter that rescues people and takes them to the hospital and all that. Well, he's now the chair of the helicopter. He's not in the helicopter, but he's the chair outside of the helicopter. And that's as far as it goes. So it sounds to me like he's retired. He can go away and point at the mirror or whoever, but no one's listening to you now, Brad. Now, on a completely different note, and I really do need to read this because there's a petition up at conspiracyoz.com, and I need people to sign it. This is very serious, actually. And it's to do with Optus. It's to do with what happened with the outage. But at the same time, Australia is a guinea pig for the New World Order. I'm telling you now, we're like the first cab off the rank. If you go to conspiracyoz.com like I have, on the left-hand side of the widget bar, you'll see an Australian cash and banking guarantee. Click on that. It's a petition. And at the moment, it's got 158,000 signatures. And it says an Australian cash and banking guarantee, and it's a petition, and it says banks are deserting towns and suburbs and leaving Australians without ready access to cash and banking services. It's got millions of Australian consumers and businesses trust and rely on cash for their everyday needs and for budgeting purposes. It says even Australians that don't attend banks or use cash regularly need access to face-to-face banking services and physical money sometimes. It says without a guarantee of access to full banking services and physical cash and a guaranteed right to use cash to buy food and essentials. It says local economies are weaker and vulnerable to system outages. Many vulnerable people are effectively excluded from the economy. Businesses are harder to manage. And so what it is, it just wants people to sign it to keep cash alive. Now, this story came out, and this is why I'm reading this. It says, this is from abc.net.au, came out on the 11th of November 2023. It says, the Optus outage has thrown our cashless society into question. Did you know that? But experts say there's no going back. So I wonder who the experts are. abc.net.au. It says, millions of Australians were impacted during the Optus outage this week, from not being able to buy coffee to landlines and some mobile phones failing to dial 000. Restaurant owner Karen Zillwood was affected at both her home and business, with the FPOS machine at her steak and seafood shop out of action. Despite Optus working to restore their service that day, it dropped out again on Thursday. And it says it just shows the absolute difficulty of a cashless society, she told ABC News. Miss Zillwood said many of her regulars had been questioning Australia's transition to a cashless society even before the Optus outage. A lot of our customers are older customers and they're scared of the prospect of cash being removed from society. It says, but experts says Australia's transition to becoming completely cashless is well underway and events such as the Optus outage won't see cash return as king. I mean, what else could happen, people? And it says it's no secret that digital transactions from credit and debit cards to digital wallets like Apple Pay dominate the payment landscape. And it's got the Reserve Bank of Australia found cash accounted for just 13% of all payments made last year. And it says Australia was among the top users of digital payments. It says while the RBA has found tapping a physical card is still the most widely used payment method in Australia, contactless and digital payments are on the rise. And that's true. I can tell you about the shop that, you know, out of 100 people, there'd be two cashers and maybe probably 10 cards. The rest are all on the phones. It says, in fact, the Australian Banking Association found Australians are among the top users of digital payments, surpassing the US, Germany, the UK and France. It's got Angel Yong, or Zhong, an associate professor of finance at the RMIT, said the digital payment sector has eclipsed traditional payment methods at an unprecedented pace over recent years. She said the COVID-19 pandemic only further accelerated this trend, and that's what I've been saying. That's what the whole COVID-19 hoax was about. It was to push us into the digital realm so we cannot return. And it says a lot of businesses switch to digital payments or contactless payments only to curb the spread of the virus, Dr. Zhong told ABC News. While physical cash may still exist, it plays a significantly diminished role in day-to-day transactions compared to digital forms of payment. And it's got Richard Holden, an economics professor at the UN, UNSW, said, Australia's transition to becoming completely cashless is well underway. So that's the guy that said it, a professor at the UNSW. If you look at the volumes of cash transactions, they go down every year, he told the ABC News, predicting cash will become a rarity over the next 5 years. So there's your timeline, people. The government wanted, it says, if the government wanted to accelerate that, if the Reserve Bank really wanted to make a push it to make it literally completely cashless, they could do it in a three-year time frame by simply saying next year we're going to retire the $100 and $50 notes. The year after that, we'll retire the $20 and $10 notes. That would give people a chance to transition. And it says Optus outage raises questions around cashless transition. Around 10 million Australians were affected during the Optus outage, with businesses emerging as one of the hardest hit groups. It was meant to hit them, people. One hospitality business told the ABC News they lost 80% of customers as a result of the FPOS machines being down due to the outage. It says, but experts agree the Optus outage was a rare event. And that's why it's happened twice. Everyone lost their information and then they lost their connection. It's just insane. And it says, I don't think that the Optus outage will dramatically affect Australia's transition towards a cashless economy, Dr. Zhong said. Well, of course not, Dr. Zhong. It says widespread internet outages are rare, really, and anomalous events, she added. Oh, she, sorry. Professor Holden agreed, saying it was very unusual. Of course they're going to say that. We will never go back to cash. We will just move further and further away from it, he said. I can't wait for him, obviously not an Optus user, for something to happen to him and see him being infuriated and going, this is not fair. This shouldn't happen to me. Let's just wait and see, people. It says it's important to make sure it's done in an inclusive way where older Australians don't feel like they've been excluded or that things are difficult for them. Well, how's that going to work? This guy's not even thinking, is he? Because it is going to affect him. It already has. So he's been a fool by saying that elderly people should be helped. They're not being helped. They're just not getting cash available everywhere. That's what's happening. You can't use cash. Eventually, that's how they'll kill it. It says, but the bottom line is digital payments are more convenient for almost all customers. Oh, yeah, it is while it works. It's like anything while it works. But also it can be taken over by a central digital currency. And that's what the trouble is. That's the problem of a new world order currency where it becomes global. And that's a problem because then it can be globally, you can have a global elite coming in and turning off the tap to your digital stream whenever they feel like it. And there'll be nothing you can do about it. Okay. So I'm not going to read the rest of the article, but you can see straight away that they want everyone to go cashless. So sign the petition, conspiracyoz.com. Down the left-hand side of the widget bar, look for the cashless petition, click it, and join the other 158,000 people that say cash is still king. And while I'm talking about cash, is king gold, people, is on the rise. It's up to 2,000 now. It doesn't look like it's going backwards, so that's a sign of dangerous times ahead. Like the last time it happened was down in 2008, 2009. And then gold shot up to almost 2,000 way back then. Well, it looks like it's hovering at 2,000 and it's not going down again. It's going to go up, up and up. And also, if you look at the bankruptcies too, and of course, they've done it again, people. TradingEconomics.com, which gets its information from the Australian Bureau of Statistics, as we all do, has said, that's right, it's released its November bankruptcies. And of course, The October one, and I do print screen these, I'll put them all up, the whole lot. You can see them from way back, how they've jimmied them. Tell you one thing, get people's confidence up, then bang, slap them in the face with the real facts. So lately, the bankruptcies are hovering in a ridiculously high state, well in 900 companies a month going under. And those companies are, you know, 100 to thousands of employees. So that's a lot of people getting thrown on the scrap heap. So last month, they had October down to 397 bankruptcies, which I thought was odd because it went from 918 in July. Let me reiterate what I was just saying. It had 918 in August. This is right after the financial year. And then it dropped down to 721, which I thought was odd. And of course, when October came out, it said 397, which was ridiculously low. And I said, well, they've obviously fudged the figures again. And of course, when the November graph came out for the bankruptcies in Australia, it says 527. But if you look at the October one, which was touted at 397 last month, it's now up to 907. So you can see that straight away, there's something wrong with the figures. And that's what's really wrong with everything to do with COVID all the way through, is the figures are being manipulated. So there you go. So we'll see what happens when December ends, and we'll see what the truth of that one is. But still, you can't go by the stats anymore, except for the fact that all the bankruptcies are going through the roof. Now, getting back to the theme of the COVID rats of Oz, I actually look back to an old article I put up, or a story that I put up, to show you how it's progressed since last time I looked at the rats of Oz. So on conspiracyoz.com, there's a story I put up on June the 9th, way back then, and it's got Never Forget These Rats. And it's got a picture of Daniel Andrews, Greg Hunt, Dominic Perrottet, which I forgot about him, Anastasia Palaszczuk, Stephen Marshall, Michael Gunner, Gladys Berejiklian, Mark McGovern, and of course, Scott Morrison. And I had X's across the ones that had left. So back in June, Hunt was gone, Gunner was gone, Marshall was gone, Berejiklian was gone, and Scott Morrison was gone. But Andrews, Palaszczuk, McGowan, and Perrottet had not gone yet. But now we've lost Andrews, which is good, Palaszczuk, McGovern, and I'm just going to look up Dominic Perrottet because I don't know what happened to him. He was part of the Rats of Oz, but he was a weak link in there. But still, he was there. I'm going to have a look for him now. One sec. Yeah, he took over from Gladys Berejiklian in 2021. So he was right in the middle of the whole COVID thing. So I'm on his Wikipedia and I've gone to the COVID-19 pandemic part. And it says Perrottet advocated strongly for business activity in the face of lockdowns and advice from health officials. So it sounds like he was going against the grain. It says, during the Northern Beaches lockdown, and I remember that, at the end of 2020, he suggested the state's chief health officer, Kerry Chant, and we need to look her up too, take a pay cut if Sydney or if its suburbs were unnecessarily locked down. I don't think she did. It says, Perrottet also pushed for the federal government to reinstate JobKeeper payments. See, that's like the universal basic income, where people were guaranteed money if they couldn't go to work. And that's it. It says, reinstate JobKeeper payments for Sydney residents in July 2021 as a new wave of infection was coming. And it says, as Treasurer Perrottet, I never get his name right, has been one of the architects of the Job Saver program and oversaw the micro business support payments. It says payroll tax waivers and deferrals, vouchers for spending in the CBD businesses and other support for businesses affected by the epidemic. And it says Perrottet opposed his cabinet colleagues and the advice of the New South Wales Health when they extended a COVID lockdown of the 7th of July 2021. Now, this guy's, the reason I say he's weak, in that context, he's actually not weak because he's actually going against the grain, which is obviously why he got ousted. But there was some, this guy's an Opus Dei guy, like he's a Catholic and it's an offshoot of the Catholic Church and he's quite devout. So he's going to have a lot of conscience problems being a minion for the globalists. This is the thing. It's funny that the guy that took over, his name is Chris Minns, but not Minion. But still, The problem he had was when he was 21 years old, he dressed up as a Nazi for his 21st birthday party, and that was a big no-no as soon as that came out. So you can see they were digging for things to get him with. As soon as he wouldn't do what they said, and they went after him. And this is it. So this would have been his Catholic influence coming in where he didn't know what to do. Now, his father worked for the World Bank. So already amongst the globalists. So straight away, I think the guy changed his mind and didn't want to help. Now, it says what he's doing now. He's still a member for his electorate over at Epping in Sydney, but it doesn't say much more about a job. He was spotted in New York recently, but it says Dominic Perrottet pops up in New York and meets with News Corp execs, which is Rupert Murdoch. But it says here that he said that he didn't have any intention of looking for a job anyway. He said he was just catching up with friends. So we'll never know the truth because get why? Because it's a politician saying that. Whether it's the next one or not, they're all the same. The leopard doesn't change its spots. So you'll never get a definitive answer. And that was back in June 2023. So the next time there was an article about him, I'll see if I can grab it. So this one's a little bit more recent, 9th of July 2023. Dailymail.co.uk. It says ex-New South Wales Premier Dominic Perrottet could walk away from politics within months amid talk of a surprise new role at his beloved footy club. So it looks like he wants a job in West Tigers, which is the team he supports for the National Rugby League. It says there are growing rumours that Dominic Perrottet could soon swap parliament for the boardroom of his beloved NRL club. The former New South Wales Premier stepped down as Liberal leader following the party's state election defeat in March and currently serves as a member for Epping. Rumours are circulating that the self-confessed West Tigers tragic could quit politics before Christmas, which it is now, and may even be tempted by a director or chairman role at the struggling club if the opportunity arose. It says the Tigers currently sit bottom of the NRL ladder. I don't think he wants to get amongst that. What do you think, people? It says in April, the club's director, Simon Cook, stepped down. And it says it's time for the West Tigers to look for new people. It says the Daily Telegraph sports editor, Phil Rothfield, has reported the ex-premier would be interested in a role at the Tigers if he was approached. I'm told Perrottet, if approached, would be keen to get involved once he steps out of politics, most likely by Christmas, he wrote. So it's Christmas now, so I'm not going to jump the gun, but we'll have to just wait and see. But it sounds like he didn't go anywhere, people. He went round in circles and started back at the beginning again, which is a football club. Doesn't seem like the place for a financier, does it, people? And he was spotted recently in New York, but he said that had nothing to do with the Murdochs. He was just there for friends, but we will never know. We'll have to wait and see what that ex-premier does. And I found an old article too that's dated a year ago, October the 26th, 2022. It's from themandarin.com.au. And the headline alone says enough. It says, 403 years of parliamentary experience lost as 26 state MPs jump ship. So that's 26 ministers of parliament up until a year ago had quit. And this is during the COVID thing, people. Says the New South Wales and Victorian governments will lose a combined 403 years of parliamentary experience when a large group of MPs retire at each state's coming elections. It says more than two dozen government MPs have said they will quit. It says on Monday night, another name was added to the list. The New South Wales Health Minister, Brad Hazzard, said he won't run again. And it says Hazzard, who was key in managing the New South Wales coronavirus response, described the pandemic as a grueling and deeply upsetting time. This is the finger pointer. The 14 government MPs in Victoria who will quit at November election have been in Parliament for a combined 211 years. It's got Richmond MP Richard Wynne, who has held his seat since 1999, is the longest serving to be leaving. In New South Wales, where 12 MPs who are quitting next March include five ministers, the government will lose 192 years of combined experience. Funny how they say that. Now, on another note, it was a week ago that I put up the story of the New Zealand data administrator that was looking after all the vaccines with their adverse reactions and just recording it for New Zealand. So he was the only data administrator to look after 4 million people's vaccine statuses and what batch numbers they took for what particular vaccine. This is to do with the COVID-19 hoax, people. Now, everyone's probably diving onto the internet trying to find where it says, what's my batch? That's what he quoted on the video before the police came and took him away. It was called What's My Batch? And so I looked it up, couldn't find it anywhere online, and you've probably had the same problem. So this is definitely a cover-up. This is 100% a cover-up. And an MP in Britain actually jumped in and weighed in on the whole thing. So I'll let him speak for about 3 minutes, but listen to this, because this is a massive can of worms, people. This is where they will not let you see the batch numbers that came out, if you were even allowed to have it recorded, to see whether you're on the list of where 30% of people died after copying a particular type of batch from. And he's saying most of them were Pfizer. This is the data administrator. Of course, as soon as he went out there and made it live, he was surrounded by police and taken away. So this is a dangerous world where we're not even allowed to uncover the truth. And so I'll let this guy speak. Now, this is, I couldn't find anything online. If someone can find something online, send it to conspiracyoz@protonmail.com so that I can review it on this show, because I'm actually shocked that I couldn't find anything. I actually thought that I would find somebody on a Reddit site or somewhere that had a link to it, but there's absolutely nothing that I could find. So I thought, this is not good. This means that they don't want you to get this information at all. Okay, so I'll put him on. This is a YouTube clip called New Zealand Stats Reveal Lethal COVID Batches. And it's a Minister of Parliament in the UK, Andrew Bridgen. And it was 10 days ago. And it says, just so I can give you the show notes just quick, it's got 126,000 views, December the 3rd, 2023. It says, why did some people experience adverse reactions to COVID vaccines and others didn't? It could be the batch or the person who injected it, says British MP Andrew Bridgen. Bridgen says New Zealand government data reveals that one vaccine location, 30% of recipients died. The data is still being analysed for more insights to the increasingly catastrophic policy, he tells Fred Paul, who's obviously an interviewer on a show. But this is really scary stuff, people. This is where we can't get the info. So we really need to put this out there as much as we can so people can start to comment on it. And actually, the comments in this particular one, I'll play the clip first, and I'll say some of the comments. But I tell you what, this is dangerous times we're in. This is seriously dangerous times.
Whenever someone's vaccinated in New Zealand, regardless of the season, the mortality rate increases for 5 months following vaccination. And also that the relative mortality rate increases with every subsequent additional shot of the vaccine that you have. Some of the batches of vaccine have got very, very high mortality rates. So, you know, the highest is around 30% of people who took the vaccine on a certain day at a certain vaccine centre by a certain vaccinator are no longer with us. There are other batches at, you know, one in four.
30%.
Wow. I've met and spoken with Mike Yeardon on a number of occasions. He was the head of research at Pfizer for a very long time. And he maintains that the speed that those vaccines were produced, if you forget everything else about the safety and efficacy, he maintains that there is no way that any of those big pharma companies could have produced a homogeneous vaccine in that number of doses in that speed of time. So he maintains that there are going to be huge differences between what's actually in the vials between different batches. You know, about 5% of the batches in America are responsible for 85% of the deaths, which would lead to thinking that there is a massive difference between batches, potentially. We know that, you know, the way the vaccines were produced, and because of its use of mRNA technology, I understand that the vaccines in bulk can't be stirred. Well, you could see if you didn't get the manufacturing process perfected and it was rolled out very quickly, that you could have huge disparities between what's in one lot of vials and what's in another lot of vials, and that could have obviously a major difference on the outcome for the people who get those vaccines. The whistleblower himself obviously was maintaining this data set, and what pushed him to leak it to various people around the world who he was confident would do something with it was the fact that even he had, you know, by just looking at the raw data, thought there's something seriously wrong here. You know, some batches, too many people are dying. The information that he was the custodian of, he thinks that should be in the public domain because people need to see this data. Scientists and data analysts in the UK and around the world have been able to legally look at that data and draw conclusions from it.
So there you have it, people. This is the world we live in, where you've got ministers of parliament in the UK questioning it, and still no one can do anything about it. They still haven't seen this list because Big Pharma and the globalists are all powerful, and they stomp out anything that looks like it could challenge their narrative. Now, obviously it hasn't been flagged on YouTube yet, but there's over 1,500 comments to that. And it's got here, this is from just someone from back when it came out. I listened to a New Zealand politician who put this out and is carrying out criminal investigation into her government, and powerful speech. It says more countries are trying to put this out. Keep up the good work. And it says, yet still the government in the UK take the problem seriously and refuse to discuss it in Parliament. They are an absolute disgrace. And it says, well, said Andrew, one of the few honest people with courage. And then someone's got no mandatory vaccines ever. That's a really good point, because they rolled this out telling everyone they were going to die. You had people in China collapsing when it first came out, and people were fearful, and they did as they were told, and they were hoodwinked. And people made money off a lot of dead people. And it says, I'm just reading any of them. It says, very sad, my nephew in New Zealand just hospitalised with an extremely aggressive leukaemia. He was one of those who believed the scam and got the clot shots. And it's got, Mr. Andrew Bridgen, you are a hero in continuing to reveal these abominable crimes against humanity. Please, please do not waver in your conviction to out the evil. Anyway, I can't go reading them all, but you can just see people. This is on YouTube. It hasn't been flagged yet, because people realise now the general public is shifting away from the narrative because they understand now they have been done. It's taken a while. It's taken quite a while for people to come around, but they don't want the shots anymore. They don't believe it. They know it didn't work, and now they're seeing the results of it, which is the digital ID coming and the fact that people are dying the more they take the shots. And isn't it funny? They always want the elderly and the immunocompromised and the disabled to take the shots. Because now you understand why. It's to clear them out of the population. It's a depopulation program. It always was. Now, Gates reckons there's another one coming, so this is what I'm really afraid of. This is like pandemic one. He said, you will notice pandemic two. So we really have to be very careful on our guard, because he's not joking. He's a eugenicist that wants to get rid of people, and he'll do it. So we have to be aware that something's coming that's very big, and we have to be a bit strong about it. Like, pandemic that just went through, a lot of people were weak, fell off the fence onto the side of doing the right thing. You got to understand, they use these narratives to get people to join the bandwagon. So initially people did it thinking they were helping the community. Then people got selfish and didn't want to go outside because they thought they'd catch COVID. And then they were told if you got the shot, you wouldn't transmit it. So people did that too. Then they social distances, then they wore masks. None of it worked. It wasn't meant to work. The whole idea was to get you to conform. That part worked, but I think people are starting to break the spell now. So anyway, so there's another comment here just quickly. It says, my mum in New Zealand received the vax. Shortly thereafter started having mini strokes, which progressed into more serious strokes, had her booster, continually got worse, ended up in Timaru Hospital, was given a third shot without her consent. This is what I was telling you about with hospital people. I couldn't visit her because I was unvaxxed. Developed stroke-related dementia and passed away on May the 15th this year, 2023. And it says, a total of 18 months from healthy from her age to incredibly ill, wheelchair-bound and now gone. These are the realities of what is happening out there, people. And there's no comeback. They just tell you, oh, it's just bad luck. Well, maybe it's the batch you were given. This could be the Russian roulette part of it. Okay, so this needs to be looked at, because if a certain batch number of whatever the vaccine was went to a certain locality and the death rate was high, well, you can imagine that they've been targeted, haven't they? Now, to end the podcast today on a different note, but pretty much the same theme, which is the slow kill, an update on the PFAS. And a lot of people have forgotten what that is, but it was actually a chemical that's in the water supply. It's been accumulating for decades. It's now being classified as like a carcinogen, which will kill you if it's accumulated to a certain amount. Now, it's called a forever chemical. There's companies like 3M with tens of thousands of products with these chemicals in them. And this is the update, because I've been waiting for this. They've been going on about a court case for this month in the US about many states in the US have been polluted with this PFAS in their water supply, so people are up in arms. And we had a class action in Australia just recently too, and that was a $132 million payout. Now, that was to landowners who had their land sort of devalued because of the PFAS. So, but this is different. This is about your drinking water that you are drinking right now that actually has levels of PFAS in it that can actually harm you. So this is why they've had to look at this. There are so many products with these chemicals in them that it's actually gone through the entire environment. So this is all the climate crazies jumping up and down and now getting on that bandwagon to end those products. So you can see that they really can't stop this one. This one's going to be a big avalanche of products that will be banned in Australia, as well as the silicosis, which has come from the engineered stone. That's now been earmarked, I think, for July. There'll be the last engineered stone ever in Australia. After that, it'll be banned because of all the workers contracting silicosis, which is the dust from it as they engineer the stone. There are now literally hundreds of tradies that will probably perish because of it. So this is a bigger one, this one, in my opinion, because this is everybody. I mean, they've found PFAS in polar bears. And they're nowhere near the consumer products that we buy, but it's in the water, it's in your blood, it's everywhere. So it's the levels that we need to find out about in court what are dangerous. But bottom line is, this is what Australia is going to do about it. So this came out on PincentMasons.com, which is a solicitor's site, and obviously they're the ones that will be involved, rubbing their hands together. This came out on the 12th of December 2023. PincentMasons.com, Australia to introduce national controls for PFAS forever chemicals. It says Australia plans to introduce national controls on the use, manufacture, import and export of so-called forever chemicals, which are the per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, from the 1st of July 2025. So they're going to wait another year and a half to do this, which in my opinion is wrong. But too late. So the idea now, people, before the avalanche starts, because it will, get out now and get your reverse osmosis water machines, because they're the only things that remove it. They say that some gravity filters do it and a few others, but the reverse osmosis definitely doesn't. The reason I'm telling you to do it now, because when people find out about this, I'm talking about the general public with their head in the sand, they're going to run out and want these machines, and then the price is going to go through the roof. Obviously, a lot of the water companies in Australia will be told to introduce filters to take this out of the water supply. But you can see the globalists don't want this out of the water supply just yet. They want to make sure that they can get a bit of a slow kill happening. So they're going to try and block it as much as they can and also drag it out in the courts. Because some of the big players like DuPont, 3M and these big companies have got, rooms of lawyers that just can't wait to stop, because they're making money out of you. You know, they're selling you the products that are slowly killing you. So they don't want you to catch on just yet. They would like you to keep buying more of those products so their shareholders can, collect the coffers just before you start coughing. Because this is a very dangerous thing. It's actually, how it affects you, I'll just tell you how this PFAS affects you. Okay, so I'll give you a crash course in what's happening with PFAS so you know what it is and what it does to you. And you won't be surprised of what one of the main things that it does to you. So it's got PFAS can be found in many places. It's present in our water, soil, air, and food, as well as materials found in our homes or workplaces, including drinking water, soil and water or near waste sites, fire extinguishing foam, that's how it was discovered in Australia, manufacturing or chemical production facilities that produce or use PFAS, like chrome plating, electronics, certain textile and paper manufacturers, in the food people, for example, in fish, caught from water contaminated by PFAS, and dairy products from livestock exposed to PFAS. Food packaging, for example, grease-resistant paper, fast food containers, wrappers, microwave popcorn bags, pizza boxes, and candy wrappers, and household products and dust. For example, in stain and water repellent used on carpets, upholstery, clothing and other fabrics, cleaning products, non-stick cookware, paints, varnishes, and sealants. So it's all around us, people. Personal care products, for example, shampoo, dental floss, and cosmetics. Did you know that, people? And finally, biosolids. For example, fertilizer from wastewater treatment plants that is used on agricultural lands that can affect ground and surface water and animals that graze on the land. So all the way through the system. There's no getting away from the forever chemicals. They don't break down in the environment. That's they accumulate. So you can imagine that definitely going to get worse before it gets better. And it says people can be exposed to PFAS in a variety of ways. Working in occupations such as firefighting or chemical manufacturing and processing, drinking water contaminated with PFAS, which is the main one. That's the one that's going to get everybody, people. Eating certain foods that may contain PFAS, including fish, swallowing contaminated soil or dust. Well, that's fair enough if you're a tradie or a workman. Breathing air containing PFAS and using products made with PFAS. So it says exposure to PFAS may be harmful to human health. Now, they say maybe. So this is why it's in the court. They want to know how much of this is dangerous. It says current scientific research, now that's current, suggests that exposure to certain PFAS may lead to adverse health outcomes. However, there's always a however, research is still ongoing to determine how different levels of exposure to different PFAS can lead to a variety of health effects. So you don't know what's going to cause it, but there are some things that can happen to you, people. Research is also underway to better understand the health effects associated with low levels of exposure to PFAS over long periods of time, especially in children. So it says, and here we go, the cruncher, people, what we know about the health effects. And it says, reproductive effects, don't you love this part, such as decreased fertility or increased high blood pressure in pregnant women. So that's great for the globalist depopulation, people, less people. Then you've got developmental effects or delays in children, including low birth weight, accelerated puberty, bone variations or behavioral changes. Increased risk of cancers, including prostate, kidney, and testicular cancers. Reduced ability of the body's immune system to fight infections, including reduced vaccine response. Don't you love it, did you? You got the PFAS and they're saying take more boosters, but drink more PFAS. It's got interference with the body's natural hormones. And finally, it says increased cholesterol levels and the risk of obesity. So you can see it's a real problem, especially the lowering of the immune system and the reproductive decreased fertility. I mean, these are they're perfect for the globalists. It's a slow kill, just like COVID. Here we go again. So they're not going to rush to fix this, people, but it's becoming more obvious now as these stories pop up. When I did the original search, looking for an update on PFAS, all I got was stuff back in August. So I had to type. So if you're looking for stuff, you're going to have to type the month and the year. Not just the year, the month as well, to try and get the latest stories on it, because they are trying to block this, people. Okay, they don't want you to find this stuff. They don't want it to be in the public domain just yet. But it's going to be. So get your reverse osmosis machine now before it's too late. All right, get in there and start cleaning the mess up. There's not much we can do. These chemicals are here forever and they're going to accumulate. So this is the danger. Even the globalists would understand that this is going to affect them and their families and children too. So this is in everybody's interest to stop these chemicals in their tracks. Now, it's going to knock out a lot of products we're used to using. Okay, but that's the trade-off. of having a modern society with, you know, your clicking remote, all these sort of things. That's what it is, all right? So I just thought I'd mention it anyway, that that's the update that we need to keep aware of, because this is just around the corner, people. 2024 will be the year of the PFAS, where everybody's talking about it. So get your machine now, get it installed, whatever it costs. It's your lives and your family's lives as well. And actually, next week I might touch on some of the fluoride that's happening, not just the PFAS, but there's a landmark decision that will be probably done probably next year between the Fluoride Action Network versus the Environmental Protection Agency in the US. And it's got here from activistpost.com, came out on the 12th of December 2023. Landmark fluoride lawsuit restarts in January. Here are the four reasons you should care. And it's got a big picture of water is unfit for human consumption. It says, after 8 years in legal limbo, the second phase of the fluoride lawsuit will begin in January. It says, will we see the end of water fluoridation in the United States? So this is it. So the four reasons, and I'll go through this probably next week, but this is another reason to get a good water filtration system happening if you haven't already. It's got number one, it says Harvard scientist says he was threatened over the fluoride science. And number two is the fluoride emails show Assistant Secretary for Health Rachel Levine blocked release of the fluoride review. And it says three, long-delayed review shows U.S. government scientists believe fluoride lowers IQ in children. And four, the U.S. government scientists had to fight to preserve their conclusion that fluoride is causing harm. So I'll talk about all that next week. We'll get into it. But this is where you need to protect yourself and your family. And one of the main elements, that, or one of the main actual life-preserving things you can do is purify your water. Get it as clean as you possibly can, all right? Because globalists are going to be looking at ways to do the slow kill, and they will not want you to protect yourself. So this is the big deal. We need to protect ourselves without government assistance, because they're, a lot of them are bought off, a lot of them are in corporations' control, which are then steered by the actual globalists themselves. So the idea is to take the information you can get your hands on and start to figure out how to do this for yourself and family, and that will influence other people to be like-minded. And eventually councils in areas will have to install reverse osmosis types of machines to filter the water and also take out the fluoride. All right, so that you have natural water without chemicals added to it. This is the problem, is they, since the 1940s, they thought it was great to put something in the water. And believe me, the globalists want to add other things to the water too, people. They'd like to put lithium in the water next. it's a never-ending battle, I can tell you. Anyway, people, looks like I'm at the end of the podcast. This is the Conspiracy Oz podcast for Wednesday, the 13th of December, 2023. Thanks for listening. Over and out.